Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this first segment of our show, we're going to hear from a group of PhD candidates in critical disability studies from York. This is an interview I wanted to do about a month ago. But the city of Toronto floods made that impossible.
Here with
Anne Jackson,
Sakana Dada,
Scott White,
Russell Rosinski,
Marcia Ryu,
Michelle Shelley.
They're going to be telling us about their experiences with the Disability Studies program here at York. Now, each one comes at it from a different place, and I wanted to see what they've gained from the program, what they hope to gain from the program. So, who wants to take the lead here?
I can go first, Anne Jackson here. One of the biggest things that I found is that my mind expanded so much with things I had no idea that I would learn that I would sometimes come back with a headache because I just felt like I was learning so much. It was just, so far, year two, totally radical, and I'm loving what I'm learning. It's really opening my eyes out and opening my mind, and it's been a wonderful program so far. Super happy with it.
So, has it challenged any of your preconceptions about what disability studies would actually mean?
Yes, I came from OCAD, which was more of a physical disability, so I'm now learning a lot more about human rights and mental disability. So it's great to have the two aspects of it to be sort of brought together. So, yep.
Sure. This is Sakana Dada. So I came from a background, I'm an occupational therapist, and I was very interested in the program because when I would work with people and I was in rehabilitation science and working on therapy, I just felt that we're not, as a society, we've really sort of just grouped people with disabilities in one category. We're trying to provide therapy, rehabilitation, but we're not really considering disability rights as human rights, and that's what drew me to the program. And more I question why we don't do that here in Canada or around the world. And so it's been an incredible journey. One thing that I found being in this program is the disability issue is not one specific issue. Marcia always tells us that it's not nothing about us without us. It's simply nothing without us.
It's an excellent point, in so much as disability does touch on every facet of life. You can't find anything that there isn't somebody with a disability involved with.
And I think people miss, too, that when you mix with the full spectrum of people with different abilities, different viewpoints, then it enriches everybody. And I think that's one thing that people miss a lot, is they try and segregate people with disabilities off. And they don't realize their lives are so much richer with all people from all walks of life and all different abilities in there. Your life becomes so much more rich.
Well, a steady diet of the same type of person over and over again, it might be comfortable, but it's not something you tend to grow by, and I'm pleased to see the program's challenging this. So, when it comes to each of your specialties, what do you find that you learn from each other, both in the classroom and out?
So, Russell here. So, I think one of the aspects that is most interesting about this program is the critical part of critical disability studies, because we are kind of in a specialty, and because everyone's doing something different, it forces me to kind of think what other people are doing versus just getting trapped in my own way of thinking, you know. And critical is a little different than interdisciplinary in the sense that, you know, we have a chance to we're not really, our specialties aren't really a discipline. We're sort of interdisciplinary, our specialties, and then we're talking interdisciplinarily to each other in a critical way, if that makes sense. And this program then gives us a chance to, take this idea of disability and really deconstruct it in ways that, you know, we can define it probably with infinite amount of words, trying to figure out what it is. And it's in that way that it gives us this chance to really, really reinforce our specialty and really understand what it is we're doing, and not just kind of like, you know, spitting out words for the sake of spitting out words to get the degree. It's really kind of giving us, like, I would say, like a one-up on everyone else.
So can you give me an example of how your work has touched upon each other?
Well, it's Russell again. I'm actually not in the same cohort as most people around me. They're all in this, I'm a year ahead. But I know just from talking in with their conversations, because I'm not in class with them, I don't hear the details of it. So I imagine, well, we do still talk about kind of the research. And I think the one I was talking with, I think it was Scott, and he was talking about something about the prison pipeline and how it relates to people with disabilities. And my own research is kind of around suicide, self-harm, and mental health. And it already was like one aspect of my research that I was completely missing out on or not thinking about it, because it is important, because we have to consider, you know, people who are in prison also, and when we're having conversations about suicide, self-harm, and mental health. And I think that made me a better researcher just from a casual conversation, because there's just so many bright minds in the program.
And Michelle, you're working on some aspects of that as well.
Yes. Hi, Kim. This is Michelle Shelley. I'm a first-year student in the Critical Disabilities Program, the PhD program. And my background is criminal justice, so I've worked in the courts for quite some time. And that's kind of what's brought me to the program, is just looking at the connection between mental health, disability, and the criminal justice system. So I'm trying to explore what the relationship is there and just looking for bigger solutions than just trying to fix immediate problems with specific clients, and looking at the bigger systemic problems is what my interest is in.
One key thing, I think you and I have talked about this before, is someone goes into the justice system, acquires an injury, does their time, and is released, can create a disability where they need to exist.
Yes, of course, being in incarcerated is traumatic for any individual. So, of course, what happens when people come out from that kind of experience, there needs to be support for people that are going through that system. So just looking what happens after people are released. So what is the post-prison experience like for people?
So this question is to each of you. Is the program worthwhile? Are you growing by it and your capabilities and your understanding?
So I'm Scott White, and I'm a PhD student in the program as well. The question in regards to growing, I think absolutely. I mean, I come from a disability studies background. My undergrad was in disability studies, but I think this sort of enters into a territory where, you know, you're having more in-depth perspective around the historical and critical thinking part of disability. And there's an element of sort of the international perspective on human rights that is something that I didn't really get exposed to in my undergraduate studies around disability. And in terms of like the sort of interrelationships in our research or in our topic areas, I'm not sure if this is the question or if I'm extending this from the previous question, but I think that we're learning and growing through the coursework and through the readings and reading other people's research, but just through the social discussions with ourselves about our topics, which we're learning more and more about ourselves, because we're kind of in a beginning process of doing doctoral research.
And what's your doctoral research going to be on, Scott?
I'm looking at doing research about disability at work, and I'm looking at social belonging at work. I'm not the only person here either that's sort of come to, I think, the PhD program at York and found that their topic may have changed a bit or changed altogether. So I came with an interest in work and disability, but the social belonging piece is something I sort of thought through talking with everyone else in the program and taking some of the courses.
Well, that's the thing. All these elements, all these issues do touch on each other. You can't have a conversation about disability rights and not say work is an issue or family life is an issue, that sort of thing. You have to take into consideration this is a complete person going to be facing all the same issues as anyone else.
What about intersectionality? You've done some work on that, Sakina.
Yeah, I mean, I think just us all sitting here speaks to intersectionality because we're from different backgrounds. We're examining disability maybe from a different perspective, but you know, we all are here together, and I think it's like a microcosm of like what actually exists and what we are up against. Because you know, we in research sometimes there's a tendency for there to be a right way and a wrong way when really it's about, like Russell said, critically thinking. And you know, I think for me, my work is on examining individuals living with disabilities who are from maybe some marginalized communities. Particularly, I'm interested in refugees with disabilities and their experiences. But one thing that I'm so drawn to in this program is that we're all looking at it from a different lens. And you know, there are intersections, whether it's culture and faith or you know, sexual orientation, or there's intersections, like if we're examining children and adults and older adults, if we're looking at it from that lens. So yeah, the program's great.
Any additional thoughts anyone wants to share here?
Russell here. Just a quick thing. When I start interacting with other grad students in the York community at large, it becomes very evident of people from our program, from Critical Disability Studies, are able to hold a conversation with anyone, and we can, like, you know, I think a lot of us are involved with the union, some of us are getting involved with student associations, but it's just we can hold a conversation, and other programs look at us like, wow, you guys are just so knowledgeable. And I think that kind of speaks to, like, the value of the program when you have other programs looking at us as, like, you know, as people who are really knowledgeable on any given subject.
And I'm also very happy to have had Marcia as a our teacher, because she doesn't just teach us, she teaches how to think. And I think that's incredibly important, that a lot of the time in the classes she would say, well, what about this and what about this? And she'd be like, what about this and what about this? And you'd be like, well, I don't know, but it made you think. And that's what I need, is somebody making me think about things, not just feeding me knowledge. So that is the ultimate teacher, someone who teaches you how to think for yourself, not teaches you knowledge.
So do you find that you carry your work with you in so much as any place you might go? Do you look around and say, is this truly accessible, or can we do better? Should I talk to somebody about that? Any instances of this?
Sure. I mean, Scott again. Like just relating it to my own topic and then going into my own work outside the university, around picking up this topic of social belonging at work. I mean, it's an ongoing thing, right? To the people being accepted in the workplace, whether not just disability, but, you know, trans people or, you know, women in some occupations, or social belonging at work relates to a lot of different things besides just disability. So I think that, I go into the workplace now and I look around with a different, you know, renewed perspective of, you know, how disability, you know, is it present even at my workplace? And then if it is, how is it represented, and, you know, how are people engaging with that topic, if at all? And certainly wouldn't be in these academic terms, but are they doing it in terms of accommodations, or do people feel satisfied, or do they have a sense of belonging? So, you know, at work. So I think it's an active, ongoing, you know, process. You know, you're taking academia out into the world, and you're viewing what the world is offering you day to day, and we're probably looking at it more critically, or personally I am looking at it more critically in terms of policy. And
there's just one other thing I want to add. This summer, just this class alone, which is just 1 year of, well, and Russell, 1 year of the PhD, the students have gone this summer on any number of trips where they've been engaging in the same kind of discourse with people from other places. And it might be interesting for you just to talk and reflect on what that means to you, because you've all been to different places. Michelle, I think you've been to...
Yes, I was in Prague for a conference on academia and the criminal justice system, and looking at individuals who are incarcerated, and looking at academics and how do we bridge the gap between academia and prison administration. So just looking at different research potentials or possibilities, I suppose, but really fascinating to kind of bring that disability conversation to a conference such as that, where the focus wasn't necessarily disability. It was focused on academia and prison administration, but the whole disability piece is really much relevant. And just to have those conversations with people who perhaps weren't necessarily thinking about that before, so just engaging in those conversations is also building their awareness as well.
And Michelle and I were both in Costa Rica. We went into the rainforest and we were doing school there with York, and we were all mixing in with people from other disciplines, and we were bringing the disability lens to those all the time, and a lot of the time people hadn't even thought about it. So that was very interesting in the environmental studies to bring in disability.
And some of you went to Ireland?
Three of us went to Ireland, yeah.
Yes, we were at the International Disability Law School in Galway, and I think one of the things that we were all doing when we were there was questioning some of these international programs and policies. We were questioning the SDGs. We were questioning what's happening at the level of the United Nations. And for me, I felt a sense of, a sense of distress, not going to lie, but also a sense of honor that I'm in a position where I'm actually questioning what's happening on a bigger level. But not only am I questioning it, I'm trying to find solutions with my colleagues, with individuals, with academics, with researchers, with clinicians. Like, I think, you know, by first questioning what's happening, we can then collectively come up with a solution to some of the greatest problems that are affecting us.
I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to do this. Some remarkable stories.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
There's a sexual violence epidemic on Canadian campuses. 1 in 5 women will be assaulted during their post-secondary studies. Will you allow the problem to continue, or will you become part of the solution? It's time to draw the line. By challenging sexist attitudes and behaviors, men can help end sexual violence. Step up, speak up, and be an ally. Visit dtl.whiteribbon.ca. A message brought to you by White Ribbon.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from the Critical Disability Studies panel from York University. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Dr. Ashley Malloy. So tell me a little bit about your work in the field of disabilities.
Well, it's kind of a plethora of experiences in terms of disability. First of all, I'm going to speak from 3 particular experiences that I have. First and foremost was the birth of my daughter, Lindsay Sarah Malloy, who was born with Down syndrome. And so therefore, from her birth, we were faced with something that I hadn't had the personal upfront experience of being a father now, in terms of taking some of the work that I've done in terms of the theoretical, obviously, and being involved in many, many international, national, local organizations that are related to disability, but now I became a parent, and so therefore I had that different perspective, as many parents do, obviously, which is very unique because you are living with the person who has a particular disability. So you're seeing it up close and personal, if I can use that example. So that brought me into, obviously, my background as an educator. I have been involved in education as a principal and board-wide administrator, of course, in the field of special education. So was always focused on ensuring that there was equity in the delivery of programs for the various groups that represent persons with disabilities. So we're looking at people with who live with autism, Down syndrome, and so on and so forth. So I was always making sure that the delivery of the programs by the school board obviously met their needs. Moved on into teach at university, and now presently teach at Niagara University after doing special education for teacher ed in York University. So I'm hoping that some of my experience and some of my philosophy of inclusion is shared by the students that I'm teaching, and that it becomes solidified when they go into the classrooms in a couple of years. So, and then of course, researcher obviously, always looking at trying to develop new programs, and I do that on a regular basis in terms of community-based programming. So I have a GEM program that's called Getting Education Meaning, which is looking at the persons with disabilities post high school. That's an area that certainly is growing because our populations with disabilities, especially with Down syndrome, are living longer. So we're always looking for meaningful life for persons with disabilities, finding employment, developing their independence. And that's an area that certainly was not prominent in the thinking. It was basically parents see it after the students leave high school, Cameron. There's an abyss of nothingness or something that programs that are unsuitable or certainly very pricey. So that's an area that I'm working on. That's my present interest.
So
and I lecture internationally all over the world in terms of my expertise in inclusion, because that's the focus that I'd like to see everything in, and that everybody needs to be included in society and have equal access to all the different opportunities. So educator, I guess academic, and parent are probably the roles that I bring to the perspective of how I see disability.
So in all your work and your experience, of course, in a family setting, has there been any success, anything you've seen progress-wise from society that stands out for you?
Well, I think that, for example, the advocacy by the parents, and until the person with a disability can get to be their own advocate. Obviously, it's a process. So, as they're young, it's the parents that are the voice, the advocates rather for the person, and then of course slowly transition into developing self advocacy. But I think that there's always a suspect by people in whether it's housing or whether it's education, because fear of the unknown. I think it's a very natural instinct. They want, with a good heart, to try and enable the person to fit in to the world of work or school or whatever, but they don't necessarily have the comfort level because they don't have the training, and I think that this is something that is ongoing, so that they feel comfortable, because people generally want to make sure that everybody can be equally respected, but they do have a natural fear. I think that the promotion and the change in terms of society certainly is changing because of the fact that we have the students with disabilities in schools, and of course that's how change starts. So learning to be with people who are quote different than you, and seeing them through a different lens, so you're not looking at them as some sort of a scientific exhibit, you're getting to know them as people. I think also the whole idea of diversity in its big realm, not just in the color of your skin, but rather disability is diverse because we have people from all walks of life, all countries, all nationalities, all faiths, and so on. So I think that the faith background is also slow, very slow to be able to incorporate them into their faith practices. Again, they're trying to find how to fit them in. So it's a kind of a work in progress. In terms of success, there is a program, for example, that I've developed that my daughter, Lindsay, having graduated from high school, is now a volunteer assistant in a special needs class at St. Dominic Savio. So she is there and proving that she can certainly bring something to the workload that the teachers have and also to the environment. So that has been going on now for 3 years, and I think that that's an area for in this particular area for students with mild to moderate at this point in time disabilities to be able to contribute to society in a meaningful way. So, and with Tim Hortons and so on, we've got some of my students that have been working now in Tim Hortons. So again, I went to the person who is a friend of mine and said, can we take a chance and can we look at this? So there has been a change, and I think corporations realize that that for their corporate image and for their obligation to society, they are much more apt to offer opportunities for employment and so on. So it's a work in progress. There are some successes. There are a couple of the ones that I might mention.
So, if you could send any message to society about the need for such inclusion, what would you say?
Well, I think that if we look at ourselves in a reflective mirror and say to ourselves, well, I mean, if you are one of those persons who have some sort of a disability, and remember, Cameron, we're all on our way to some sort of disability, okay, based on age, you know, or walking, or we need a walker or something. So we're all on our way to disability. So I think that we have to kind of be conscious of that. And how would we want to be treated? I think that the fact is all that people with disabilities want is respect. They certainly don't want pity. So the good-heartedness that comes with the right intentions, we need to ensure that that is not what the people with disabilities really want, number one. So I think that if I was going to send a message, inclusion means like a circle, 360 degrees. If there's 359, you are not inclusive. It is not an inclusive environment. And I think that what we want to understand is that if you have interact with people with disabilities and you look at the upside, what can they do? What do they bring? As opposed to looking at the pessimistic side, I think that that's what we need to do to see the benefits, see what they have, look intrinsically, unbiased, and say, boy, that's something. Yeah, that's something, because people with Down syndrome, which I can speak of, certainly have a great joie de vivre, and they do bring a very positive life, very caring, and that. So, and we need that in society. So everybody has a role to play, and inclusion means opening ourselves up to the gifts and talents of people who are different than ourselves. And as I said, finally, I don't see people as disabled. I see people as simply differently abled, and that's a real important distinction.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
I will, no problem. Go ahead.
You know, folks, kind of fascinates me. Today's show, it's a fusion of some of the greatest minds you'll ever hope to hear in terms of disability rights and disability studies. But the truth is, it really shouldn't take an advanced mind to recognize people with disabilities are people. Treat them with dignity. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's not rocket science. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HANDILINK, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. Truth is, no matter what your specialty, no matter what background you're coming from, people with disabilities and those around them are all entitled to consideration, respect, dignity. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.